Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good morning to everybody out there in the state of Jefferson, and a beautiful one it is here. Strangely kind of mild weather for us. We went from that real normal Redding heat to kind of dialed it back a little bit the last couple days. It's been nice.
Yep.
So, and no wildfires yet. Cross your fingers, knock on wood. So we've escaped a few thunderstorms that we've had. There's water in the lakes. Things are looking good, at least on that end. So now it's time to get things looking good on several other fronts.
There you go.
Yeah, as always, is Wynn Carpenter is back. He was up in Fall River for the air show. Jeez, brain fart there for a second. And I want to remind everybody, too, that you can catch Wynn and I on on KQMS next Saturday. We'll be guest hosting Pete Peters' Freedom in Action. So Saturday at 7 a.m., tune into us there. I know, early, huh?
Bring your coffee.
So we got several things to talk about this morning. Number one, on a lot of people's mind, is the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals' decision to say we don't have a constitutional right to carry concealed weapons. So I'm not sure how that works. If California bans open carry and we don't have a constitutional right to concealed carry, isn't that a de facto ban on carrying firearms, which is against the Second Amendment? Is that not similar to what they did with the mining, when they said, well, we understand under the mining law that we can't ban mining, and we're not banning mining, we're not making mining illegal, but you have to buy a permit. By the way, we're not going to issue any permits. That was deemed as a de facto ban by the Third Circuit Court of Appeals as a de facto ban on mining. So how does this not meet the same qualifications as a de facto ban on our right to bear arms?
Okay, so is the term carrying, is that their term?
Yes.
Okay, so then we're going to be wearing our guns. I'm going to be wearing my gun. I'm not carrying it. I'm wearing it.
It's an accessory.
Yes. Don't that look beautiful in my gun?
Well, it's so ridiculous that the argument that they made, and I'm one of those weirdos that actually reads the whole court decision.
Mm-hmm.
And their justification was that the Second Amendment, as incorporated by the 14th Amendment, does not meet the standard of a concealed carry clause. How does the 14th Amendment, that came 100 years after the Second Amendment, incorporate the Second Amendment? How does it? So the Second Amendment just sat out there and floated around and did nothing and meant nothing for 100 years until the 14th Amendment came along to incorporate it?
Oh, sure it did.
What does that even mean? It's psychobabble, and it's interesting. You read the dissension of the other judges that, you know, said, yeah, you have a right to concealed carry, and it should be a shell issue, and things of that manner. And just the logic of the judges in the majority, there is no logic. They just babble a bunch of legal precedents that doesn't tie together to justify the fact that they're trying to legislate from the bench. And this has caused some interesting things. The state of Arizona is now trying to figure out how to withdraw itself from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. I'm not sure if they can do that, but it's something interesting to look at and examine what they do, because it may be something that we look at in the future.
It's a conversation starter, that's for sure.
It is exactly where is the state sovereignty in that issue.
So how do they have jurisdiction?
Well, I don't know that it's necessarily granted by the Constitution, the federal circuit court system, how it's set up. It's something that I need to do a lot more research and looking into, which I will, but it is an interesting conversation to have. Does the state have even the sovereignty to overturn a federal court decision like that?
Okay, so then if, God forbid, this should go through, when is this supposed to be coming down and being effective?
Well, I believe that there will be an appeal, probably to the Supreme Court.
Okay.
I doubt very much that this is over, and I don't believe they've prescribed the manner that this is to be resolved. I don't know if they are kicking it back to the lower court for rendering a decision, because this actually overturned the decision of the original court. What happened is the original lower court deemed that you cannot deny somebody a CCW except very specific reasons. Then the state of California at the end said, oh, by the way, we're a plaintiff in this, or we're a defendant in this case, and we want to appeal it, even though they had never been a part of the case before until the decision had been rendered, which is completely illegal to begin with. So there's a lot of different things, a lot of moving pieces to this.
Sounds like a colossal waste of money, time, effort, and energy when things could be worked on that are real problems.
We
have the Second Amendment for a reason.
Well, and what it comes down to, it really highlights what we've been saying all along, is you need to know who your sheriff is, you need to know what your sheriff stands for, where they are with the Constitution, because right now it's a free-for-all, and the only one that gets to decide who gets a permit or not is your sheriff,
right,
because they are the constitutional authority in the county.
That's right, so they can interpose.
So
yep.
It is vital that you have a good sheriff in place that will help to protect and secure your constitutional rights.
That's right.
So, I don't know. Interesting things. We'll be talking in the next show in Sovereign Minds about some of the new gun laws and some of the things that are going on. It keeps coming from the state of California. So, and you know, the reports of rampant voter fraud that went on during the primary.
That would never happen, especially in California.
Broken voting machines that were tampered with. One county lost all of the Republican primary ballots.
Really?
There were people that showed up to find out they'd been removed from voter rolls or had their party affiliation changed to declared a state so that they couldn't vote in their
in the primary.
People would had their address changed so that their polling place was in a whole other city in their county that they couldn't locate. There are just massive amounts of things that went on, and it was statewide.
And that's in California?
That's good old California.
So what counties are these? Do we know what counties?
I don't have a comprehensive list. I know it was heavily in the Southern California counties.
Of course.
I know Sonoma was one that was one of the worst. That's one of the northern counties that this went on. But it throws into light several things. We had one of the two remaining Democratic presidential candidates announce their victory in California before the polls even opened. Strange that Hillary knew she was going to win California before we even voted, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, makes you wonder. So... I don't know, but we're pouring through a lot of the voter data and a lot of the things that went on, and you know, some of the interesting aspects. We look at the run of Steve Baird in the primary. He took about 14.2% of the vote in Senate District 1, and for basically what would be a third party candidate as Steve Baird to take 14.2% in the first go around in the election is really seismic. I mean, a lot of people look at that and go, well, 14.2% out of 100% is not that great. But if you're a pollster, if you understand the stats, if you understand that most elections sway by plus or minus 3 points,
3 points, yeah,
14.2% of the vote is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it, really, every one of those 14.2% votes are Jefferson voters.
Yep.
So what that tells us is Jefferson currently controls 14.2% of the voting bloc in Senate District 1.
Mm-hmm.
We will be the ones deciding who wins.
Yep.
Because there's going to be so many people vote Republican, there's going to be so many people that vote Democrat, and it's going to be 14.2% of the Jefferson voters decide who wins.
That's right.
They need to keep that in mind.
Yep.
So, interesting things. You know, there's a lot of different dynamics and things that developed through the primary race, some things that we identified, some things that we know. It's good data and good data that we're going to be using to our advantage.
Good.
So with that, we better get off to our first break here, and then let's start discussion about our formation assembly.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, I'm so looking forward to it. We'll see you on the other side.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
Petroleum Company, Northern Lights Energy. Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Green grass is everywhere, so come on in and pick up some ethanol-free 93 and get started on the weed-eating lawnmowers. We are filling propane bottles like a factory. If you're in a hurry, we have the exchange program also. We have a lot of race car fuel ready to go. If now's the time you want to talk about upgrading your kerosene heater or on-demand water heater, give Johnny a call. He's doing a lot of free estimates. We have bulk oils in your container or ours, and a lot to choose from. Open on Saturday in Reading till 3:30. So stop in and say hello. Northern Lights Energy. When you want to talk to a real person, not an answering machine, give us a try. Reading, Corning, Weaverville. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Not your average petroleum company. Northern Lights Energy.
In the 40s, Redding Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Redding Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Redding with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Redding Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Redding Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
If you have knee or hip pain, learn how to stop hurting and start moving again. Providence Orthopedic Institute invites you to a free talk on June 17th at Mount Shasta Resort. Mako technology at Providence may be the right solution for your knee or hip joint pain. Life is better in motion, so come to Providence Orthopedic Institute's free talk Friday, June 17th at Mount Shasta Resort. Register at 888-907-0915 or at providence.org/jointrobot.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Sovereign Minds Radio moves to a new time, 9 to 11 a.m. Sundays. Sovereign Minds Radio, the place to get your news before the revolution starts.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Well, we're moving on.
Well, welcome back to the Jefferson State of Mind.
Moving on up.
Moving on up. There's just so much going on out in the world, and so many things that we got to get this done, and we got to get it done fast so we can put a stop to a bunch of this nonsense. But before we get into that, we got Patty on the phone. Patty, you there?
Good morning, Patty.
Yeah, good morning. How are you guys?
Good, and you?
Yeah, I'm pissed off this morning.
Hey, I'm with Election Integrity Project, and I went out and observed 8 precincts. And I talked to Linda Payne about 3 o'clock on Election Day, and she wanted to know what was going on up here, because she said it was going on all up and down the state where people would show up. And what I was seeing is they were on the roster as vote by mail, and they had not registered that way, or it was they had been changed to declined estate, and so they didn't get to vote a Republican ballot, or if they did, it was provisional. And so what I want to get it out there is if anybody had that happen to them or witnessed something that wasn't right, please send an email to info@electionintegrityproject.com because there will be a lawsuit. We've got a lawyer working on it already.
Good.
Say that website again, Patty.
It's an email address, info@electionintegrityproject.com.
Okay.
And then that's to Linda Payne, and she can send anybody a witness statement. And if anybody wants a witness statement, I can do it too. My email is smipatty@gmail.com. And then we can get them hooked up with a witness statement. They need to fill it out in blue ink so that when it goes to court, they know it's an original document.
Oh, okay.
And then it can be emailed to Linda at the info@Election Integrity Project and then send the hard copy in blue ink also.
All right.
All righty.
Great information. Thank you, Patty.
Yeah, we'll see if we can get that passed on to some of our websites and things like that too. Because from the data we've collected or the information we've heard, it was pretty rampant statewide.
Hey, Patty.
Oh, yeah.
Patty, have you got a hold of Sally for that?
No, I haven't. But I will put the email address in the chat room.
Perfect.
All righty.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Patty.
Have a good one.
You too. There you
as
go.
As if we needed another reason.
Yep. And, you know, have patriots out there working on this,
yes,
trying to get things straightened out and holding those accountable that are supposed to be tabulating all the information for our republic.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, how much more rampant corruption does there need to be for people to wake up? I mean, how much more has to go on in this country for people to wake up and take a look at it and go, it really is time for change, a drastic change. We have to restore our country. We have to restore our Constitution. We have to restore our republic.
Just think about it, too. The registrar voters of every county, they earn really good money for what they do.
Yeah.
Therefore, they should be earning it by making sure that all these issues are resolved. I can understand you have a glitch here and there. I get that. Things happen. However, do your troubleshooting. Go through and figure it all out well in advance and then address it immediately when things start happening. Have a plan in place to rectify those issues.
Well, when it's on such a mass scale, too, it's really hard to look at it and go, oh, yeah, this is just a case of gross incompetence.
Right. It's an intention.
There needs to be some registrars asking and answering some questions in front of a judge.
Well, and boards of supervisors, since they oversee that.
Absolutely.
They're at the ultimate.
They're the ultimate end of it.
Yep, they're the bosses of those folks, so yeah. Guess what? And also, we are the bosses of those folks. They get elected into those positions.
Yeah.
And next time they're up for election, ask them those tidbits of information. Why did this happen?
Well, that's, again, it's one of those things that how much attention does the regular voter pay to who their registrar is? Or do they just check the name that they recognize or,
incumbent.
Incumbent or yep. whichever sign they've seen the most of or anything like that? And that's really where the issues is the voters need to be
educated.
Informed, educated, need to do their own research, or find a source that you trust.
Right.
You know, vet your sources. And
ask questions. Ask of other people that are going to be voting. So who are you voting for and why?
Yeah.
I mean, it takes a few minutes. How big is the list when you vote? We had, what, 6 spots on the ballot?
Yeah.
Good grief. Ask about all the candidates under each one of those categories and figure it out. You know, it's not rocket science.
No, take a look at who they
isn't.
Are. So, just another thing that needs to be fixed.
Yep.
We'll add it to the list. So, but one of the things that I want to touch on this morning that's not really SOJ specific, but it does tie into a lot of the things going on in California, especially with the CCW thing, what happened in Orlando, Florida at that nightclub early this morning. We need to wake up to the fact that the enemy doesn't care. Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, they don't distinguish between party policy. They don't distinguish between anything. They want us all dead.
Right.
You know, and yeah, it was a gay bar that got shot up in Orlando. But that's not 50 gay people laying dead on the floor of that place. That's 50 Americans laying dead because we have government that will not protect our people, that are incapable of protecting our people. And the stronger that the enemy grows, the harder our government pushes to disarm us and make it impossible for us to defend ourselves.
That's right.
And that's one of the things that has to absolutely stop as well. So, with that, we got Terry on the phone.
Good morning, Terry.
Hey, you two. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
You know, I think that you guys have hit the bottom line. You have created the silver bullet this morning out of something you just said. And that silver bullet that goes right to the heart of the problem that we have. When you made the comment, we have to understand we're in charge. That's the whole problem. We don't understand we're in charge. The police, yes, sir, no, sir. The city councils, thank you for allowing me to speak. Boards of supervisors, thank you for allowing me to be here. You see, we don't understand that we're in charge. That's the problem everywhere. Government is in charge. They're showing that they're in charge. Government is showing that we are serfs and slaves to them. And maybe we should go back to our ancestors and go way back to 1776 and understand that we need to use what the Founding Fathers gave us. But you guys hit the nail right on the head. Wynn, you're absolutely right. We're in charge. But you know what? We don't believe that. If we believe that, frankly, we might even be somewhere, you know, and I mean this metaphorically speaking, of course, with pitchforks and torches in front of these buildings. Really and truly, we don't believe we're in charge. What do you guys think of that?
I agree. People don't understand it. They've been dumbed down for so many years being educated in our public school systems that they don't get it. They don't understand it, and they don't, for some reason, they think it's too easy. That's my thought. They think, oh, well, how could it be that simple? Well, it is that simple.
Well, there are certain relationships where human beings seem to forget the employee-employer relationship. When you deal with a lawyer, you deal with a doctor, you deal with a politician, you seem to forget who's really in charge.
Yeah, if you didn't patronize them, they wouldn't earn the money that they get from you either through insurance or being paid directly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, that not only are we in charge, but the atrocities that are happening in the government, the miscarriages of justice, all of those are on our heads. That blood and that conscience is ours to carry. That's our burden to carry.
Yes.
Because we have enabled this. We are allowing this. Not only that, we have put these people in place to do what they're doing.
And
it's our responsibility to fix it.
Now you think about it. We've had shootings in the U.S., mass shootings, coast to coast. Florida, or California, and then Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Where's next? Okay, we already had the 9/11. How much more is it going to take?
Where have we not been hit?
Right.
You know, Oregon.
Just a thought. How do we know that some of those things aren't even governmentally put in place, some of those shootings? How do we know that some of that stuff isn't? And, I'm just saying, what do we put past the government we have? What do we put past them right now?
Nothing.
Nothing at this point. Nothing at
all. It's all about control.
So,
I hope you carry this conversation on through Sovereign Minds, Red, because I think that you guys hit the nail right on the head, you two. You're absolutely right. We don't believe we're in charge. We aren't acting like we're in charge. We are acting like slaves, therefore we are slaves. That's just all there is to it. And I don't care what business you own. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a radio personality. I don't care if you're a television personality. It doesn't matter. You're not in charge. The government is controlling you in every aspect of your life, and we just don't get it. You know, I don't know if we'll ever wake up, to be honest with you. At this point, I sometimes wonder. I know there's some of us that are, but God willing, we will.
Well,
and we'll follow what the founding fathers gave us.
My question is it a lack of people that are awake, or is it a lack of people that have the backbone to do what's necessary and face the fact that they may be incarcerated or killed for what they have to do to push back?
Combination of the two.
Well, you know, the more people start having dialogue about it, the number will grow. And then when you have the number, it'll be addressed. Mm. But until that happens, not going to happen, unfortunately.
Yeah. And that's it, is when you enter into this fight, you have to enter it with the clear eyes and the clear intentions that if you're doing this, you have to be all in. There's no halfway.
That's right.
Of doing this. Either you're in or you're out.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be willing to stand up and have the spine and the backbone to face the possible consequences of what may happen. Your government may murder you alongside a highway out in the middle of nowhere in Oregon for standing for the Constitution.
That would never happen in the U.S.
Your government may incarcerate you and, you know, hit you with trumped-up charges and violate your rights.
Again, that would never happen in the U.S.
They might show up to your home and surround you with tanks and helicopters and then light you on fire. They may execute your son out in the woods. They may use a sniper to kill your wife in front of your face.
Yeah.
These are all
they
things.
They may shoot a man in Oregon that's trying to try it with his hands up and assassinate him.
Yep.
That may happen. That's the fight we're in.
Yeah.
That's the fight that we're in. So there is no halfway in this. But know that if you're not willing to take those risks and you're not willing to stand up for it, know what you are at your heart.
Yeah.
You have no honor. You have nothing.
You're willing to be a serf.
You are willing to be a slave.
Yep.
I'm not.
Ditto.
I'm not willing to allow my children to slip into slavery. There's a lot of things that need to be fixed. With that, we do need to get off to our bottom of the hour break here. So, if you guys have any questions or comments, we can be reached at 530-605-4567. We'll see you on the other side of this break.
When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit SOJ51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
There are few things you can count on. In the North State, it's gonna get hot. Well, count on this. Solar shades from Budget Blinds. Solar shades keep sunlight out. The use of solar shades help in reducing indoor temperature during our hot summer days by minimizing the amount of heat allowed indoors during the day, reducing the need for air conditioning. At Budget Blinds, creating your perfect atmosphere at home or at the office is our goal. Budget Blinds comes to you with the latest trends in textures, patterns, colors, and now solar shades. What else? Now listen to this. Ready? What about the exterior? Budget Blinds will help you beat the heat this year with exterior solar screens. That's not all. Install exterior solar screens and receive a rebate of up to $500 from Redding Electric Utility. Did you hear that? Count on being cooler this summer with exterior solar screens and solar shades and a rebate up to $500 to boot. Wow.
Give Budget Blinds a call today. 226-9027 or visit us on the web at www.budgetblinds.com.
There's country in the air at the Shasta District Fair, jam-packed with entertainment for all. Wednesday's Pepsi Waterworks Park Kids Day is free admission to kids 12 and under with Canada's Country Music High Valley Concert brought to you by Wildcard Brewing Company. Thursday is Record Searchlight Action News Now, Senior Day with free admission 62 and over, and the music of Journey Revisited, sponsored by Sierra Nevada Brewery. Friday's Members First Credit Union Grandstand Concert features country music's Jackson Mickelson, sponsored by Miller Coors. And Saturday, it's Tri-County's Bank's annual annual Junior Livestock Auction, plus Budweiser and Bud Light present action-packed go-kart, auto, and boat races. Organized chaos at its best. All this plus hypnotist Chris Mabry, World of Reptiles exhibit, strolling comedy and magic show, local bands, camel rides, talent show, and much more. Carnival rides, fair food, and plenty of free entertainment with paid fare admission when the Shasta District Fair opens Wednesday, June 15th. Advanced carnival and admission tickets save you as much as 30% and must be purchased by the close of business Tuesday, June 14th.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Good question. Who made who?
Who made who?
Did the government make us, or did we make the government?
The latter.
Who are the final arbitrators of the government and what it shall and shall not do? Is it the courts?
No, it'll be we, the citizens.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's one of the things that we need to remember. Yeah. And one of the things that we need to take control of.
And be exercising daily.
Now, July 23rd. We're going to take a large step forward in that process.
We are.
In Live Oak, July 23rd, we will be hosting the First State of Jefferson Assembly, Formation Assembly, where we will be collecting delegates and representatives from all of the counties. It's open to any resident of the State of Jefferson. And come in and... we'll have a brief speech by Mark Baird and some ground rules laid out and some things, and we'll divide out as individual counties, and the individual counties will discuss among themselves their needs, their wants, their desires, their thoughts of moving the State of Jefferson forward, the things that we need to form, the various committees, unity of messaging, marketing, media, use of some of the different symbols and things that we can to spread the message further and wider and collect yet even more believers in the State of Jefferson, spread the Jeffersonian message, to shed some of the diatribe and the misnomers about what we are and who we are and what we stand for, and understand that we are really fighting for representation for everyone in the North State. Because, again, the enemy doesn't care about us up here. They don't care if we're Democrats or Republicans or Libertarians. They've silenced us, and they're happy and duplicitous in that fact.
Yep.
It doesn't matter to them what party you are. They have you under their thumb, and they have full intentions of keeping us there.
And if you're not under a party, if you're independent, you know, there
yeah,
you go.
They do not care, because they have us right where they want us.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that we fully intend to break and will not stop until it's broken. And this formation assembly will be one of the starting foundation, one of the keystones, if you will, of starting that process.
Right.
Of deciding how we're going to do things to begin ideas of voting amongst the county, of deciding not as 21 individuals anymore, but as a state and operating at a state level.
Right.
So it's time to begin that process. It's very exciting. It ought to be fun. It really should be fun. We're not ready to dive into individual things yet, like marijuana legalization, or you know the symbols, or the color of the flag, or anything. We're nowhere near ready for that process yet.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great many people that still need to be educated on the fundamentals of government and constitutional law.
Right.
That's one of the things that we have to look at and make sure that our representatives know where they're operating from, the lawful and moral background that we have to be coming from, and understanding that this absolutely has to be open to any and all.
That's right.
There is one qualification on your opinion, though, on your thoughts. If your thoughts, your opinions, or your processes are contrary to the Constitution of the United States of America, no.
No, that's right.
If your ideas, if your thoughts can pass the litmus test of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, okay, we can talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
If anything that you have to say is a violation of those ideals, forget it.
Non-negotiable.
Non-negotiable. That is where we draw the line, and that is at the Constitution of the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, let's talk about it. Let's figure out how we're going to enact it, what is the will of the people. As Mark Baird says, what will the gentleman have? And we need to address other fundamental and vital things. Funding, applying political pressure. And can we be more effective as applying political pressure as the state of Jefferson or as 21 individual counties? We need to bring everything together into one unified voice and one unified methodology, and we become even stronger than we are already.
Right.
And those are things that we're going to be looking at July 23rd in Live Oak. Again, everybody's invited. Details are out on Facebook. More details will be coming as we iron out a couple of kinks and shore up a couple of things.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that we're good to go. Real quick, we got another call from Nick in Reading.
Good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning. Hey, listen, you know, I look at the comments on Reading.com when they have something on there about Jefferson, and these mental midgets seem to think that we're going to be the brokest state, broker than Mississippi, and they don't seem to understand that it seems to me Southern California is just harvesting our resources and our money. And could you kind of go over the financials a little bit, like how much money do we send to California and how much do we get back? And are we going to be the brokest state there is? If you could just touch on that a little bit, I think the audience would appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Nick. We will not be the brokest state.
No.
Day one, when we separate from California, will be the worst financial day of our existence.
Yeah, because it'll be the last day in California.
That's correct.
That's the thing that the state of Jefferson's broke now. And the state of Jefferson's broke now because we exist in the state of California.
Correct.
Our finances couldn't get any worse. When you're, say, Lassen County that gets back pennies in the dollar on their tax revenue. I listened to a radio show here on this station a couple days ago with one of our Board of Supervisors, Leonard Modi, and Larry Lease, that said, oh, the state of Jefferson possibly couldn't make it because of how much money the state gives us. You idiot. Where does the state of California get the money from first?
Hello?
Where do you think it comes from, Leonard? They print it? Moron. It's that kind of thinking that is nonsense. If you take a look at the amount of tax revenue generated in a county,
mm-hmm.
that is distributed to the state and then returned to the state, we are making less
return
money.
Return to the county.
Return to the county.
Yeah, yeah.
We are making less money than we generate.
Mm-hmm.
And why is that? Because we are a poverty-stricken state. Something like 30% of the people that exist in the state are below the poverty level. Most of that is down south. Most of the tax burden, or the debt, is down south. Most of the unfunded liability, down south. The debt of California lives in the south, not here in the north.
Because we have, number one, we have conservatively operated counties up here. They have to be because we don't have the money because they're not letting us keep our money. Mm. Once we get to keep our money, we'll be able to turn things around operating conservatively, but it will turn around immediately.
Immediately. And not only that, we're going to be in a good starting position because, number one, we're not going to have a state bureaucracy that's top-heavy that's pulling 14 to 40% off of the revenue in payroll before the money gets to the people. The federal pass-through dollars are not going to be raped and stripped bare bones before it gets to the people. We're going to be able to generate our own revenue. We're going to be able to remove the regulations and the stupidity of California to get our economy back up and going. And right out of the gate, we know that we can support ourselves and come in right around New Mexico's amount of revenue with 0.25% of the population.
And that's day one.
That's per capita median of a pretty comfortable income for a lot of people here. And that's just starting out. To say we're going to be broker than Mississippi is idiocy, because we already are.
And at least if we were broker than Mississippi, at least we'd be a sovereign state.
And there is a certain aspect to that, too, is I would rather have liberty than money.
Yeah.
Because with liberty, I can find a way to go get my own money.
There you go.
It's an asinine argument. We've debunked it. We've refuted it I don't know how many times. And there's just some people that you can hit them in the head with a stick so many times, they're just not going to listen. And what they're really saying when they say, well, we're going to be too big to exist, is I'm too big of a chicken to get off of the couch and do what needs to be doing to secure liberty for myself and my children.
It's actually
an excuse.
They're living off the government teat is what they're doing.
There's a lot of that.
Those sayers that are doing that, you think about it, some of these people that have been elected into these government positions, they've retired out at other government positions, so they're on CalPERS or whatever retirement program they have, and now they're going for a secondary one. And
yeah,
so
because they killed the first one.
Yeah, so now they're going for that one as well. So they're just bleeding off the system is what they're doing. That's the only reason they're there. For the people. They're not there for the improvement of our county or the departments that they're after.
And not only that, when we become the state of Jefferson, we inherit the assets that exist here.
Correct.
There are over 500-some California agencies. We are going to have nowhere near that many agencies
in
Jefferson. So let me ask you, how many assets is that sitting there in equipment, in vehicles, in buildings that we no longer need because we don't have those agencies that the individual counties will inherit and be able to make use of themselves or liquidate for cash flow?
And we'll do a serious audit. We'll do a forensic audit to
Absolutely.
Make sure that we have
every penny,
everything that is rightfully due to us before we make one payment of any kind to California for getting out from under their debt.
So we have the tax revenues that we generate already. We have the asset pool that we will begin as an operating fund. And then you have to look at the tax relief the individual citizen's going to experience as they are removed from ridiculous tax burdens such as the fire fee.
Mm-hmm.
Very quickly and very rapidly, individual businesses, small businesses, and individual citizens are going to get some breathing room to start operating and start purchasing some things and start stimulating the economy. Next, you look at our corporate tax rate and the influx of business that's going to come here to do business and be successful.
And people that are already currently doing business or that live here thinking about doing business that haven't done it yet because of California's ridiculous requirements, they'll be able to open up their business, start their businesses here, and go like gangbusters.
Exactly.
It will happen.
So really, for someone to say that the state of Jefferson will be broke is a laughable argument.
Right.
It does not withstand the test of numbers. I mean, it's simple math. Sit down, do the math, and do the math the right way, not California Common Core accounting, and where you split everything up amongst 16 different accounts so you can try to launder everything that's really going on, and take a look at the revenue produced by individual counties. There are 4 counties out of the 21 in Jefferson that operate in the red that actually receive more money than they output, and they're the 4 largest timber counties in the state, and in no time will be producing more revenue than they know what to do with.
That's correct. And the other thing is, I have a question on some of these naysayers. How many of them have been to either a Jefferson meeting or town hall or any other functions that Jefferson has put on where we've explained this information in detail?
How many of them have actually looked at the financials?
Zero.
You know, as a perfect example, Leonard Modi sat right here in this studio and said, well, I haven't seen a financial statement that says Jefferson's viable. Well, Leonard, you were provided with an 80-page report that said absolutely that. You were provided with the state's own LAO report that said we were viable, and you refused to look at either one.
So, therefore, he was not telling the truth?
Well, no, he was telling the truth. I don't think he's seen a report that...
Because he didn't look at him.
Because he didn't look.
Didn't look at it.
He didn't want to look.
He received it, but he
didn't
look at it.
Because he's got a system in California where he can do things like say, oh, we don't have enough money for the jail, but we do have enough money for to set up a rehab facility that we can afford to pay a private entity to operate. That private entity happened to be a campaign contributor, Leonard. Schmuck. So, anyways, with that, we better get off to our next break here before I really get going on that guy and what I think of him.
Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken and the time has come for 51. Please visit SOJ51.net and donate now to show your support.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hi, I'm Rick Hughes, host of the newest talk radio show heard here on KCNR 1460 AM on the dial. It's called The Flot Line, F-L-O-T, Flot Line. It'll be heard every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 AM. Come join me and learn how God has tremendous problem-solving devices that you can use to stop the outside sources of adversity before they become the inside sources of stress. That's The Flot Line with Rick Hughes every Sunday morning here on KCNR at 7 a.m.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation? With debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Sovereign Minds Radio moves to a new time, 9 to 11 a.m. Sundays. Sovereign Minds Radio, the place to get your news before the revolution starts.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 a.m.
You know a dream is like a river, ever changing as it flows. And a dreamer's just a vessel that must follow where it goes. Trying to learn from what's behind you and never knowing what's in store makes each day a constant battle. just to stay between the shores. And I will sail my vessel till the river runs dry. Like a bird upon the wind, these waters are my sky. I'll never reach my destination if I never try. So I will sail my vessel till the river runs dry. Too many times we stand beside and let the water slip away. So what we put off till tomorrow has now become today. So don't you sit up on the shoreline and say you're satisfied. Choose to chance the rapids and dare to dance the tide. Yes, I will sail my vessel till the river runs dry. Like a bird upon the wind, these waters are my sky. I'll never reach my destination if I never try. So I will sail my vessel till the river runs dry. And there's bound to be rougher waters, but I know I'll take some falls. But with the good Lord as my captain, I can make it through them all. I will sail my vessel till the river runs dry. Like a bird upon the wind, these waters are my sky. I'll never reach my destination if I never try. So I will sail my vessel till the river runs dry. Yes, I will sail my vessel till the river runs dry.
Well, welcome back for the last couple of minutes of Jefferson State of Mind. Really like that song because sometimes that's really kind of what it is. It's just a struggle to keep the vessel between the shores. But we are going to sail this vessel until the river runs dry. That is for sure.
Amen.
So. Again, July 23rd, we encourage, we invite everybody to come down, have your voice, have your thoughts, your opinions heard. Come down and define what you want the new state to be, how you want it to look, what you want it to operate like. You know, as we said, there is a foundation. It's a constitutional foundation. We will operate as a constitutional state, as a sovereign state. We will operate within the confines of the Constitution, and we will operate as a constitutional republic.
That's right.
We will not be a democracy. We will not be an oligarchy. We will not be socialist. We are going to go back to the ideals that formed this country and made it great until, for whatever reason, we decided as a people to break it and think that there was something better.
We went off the rails.
Yeah, the grass is always greener, right?
Nope.
No, it's not. So, again, that'll be in Live Oak, California. Everybody come. Have your voice heard. It's going to be a good time. There's going to be so many good Jeffersonians there, so many good people. And, again, the people that say the finances can't work haven't looked at the finances. The people that say it's a movement made up of a certain kind of people have never been to a Jefferson meeting,
right.
That, which is obvious and clear. You could spend about 5 minutes in a Jefferson meeting and go, oh, wait a minute, this is absolutely not what I was told it was.
Mm-hmm.
This is not what I thought it was. Because we are fighting for all people.
We are.
Everybody needs their voice heard here. And we've
all got skin in the game.
We all have.
We reside in Jefferson Territory. We have skin in the game. Yeah. If you got skin in the game, you owe it to yourself, your family, and everybody else before and after you to get it fixed.
And, you know, everybody that thinks that everything's defined and preset and all of this, it's not true. We don't even agree amongst ourselves many times about some of these things. But the ideas and the solutions that come out of the collision of those opinions are fantastic.
They are.
When you take two varying sides and you sit them down and you have a discussion, an intelligent, defined discussion, often what comes out of it is it's powerful stuff.
Good stuff.
And that's what's going to be going on July 23rd in Live Oak. Be there. Be a part of history. Have your name on the roll call.
There you go.
Because it'll be looked at sometime by your grandkids and go, you were there, Granddad?
There you go.
Until then, keep sunny side up, Jefferson.
Stay tuned for Sovereign Minds next on KCNR Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. The massacre at a homosexual nightclub in Orlando early today is the worst mass shooting in U.S. history. Police Chief John Mina says 50 people were killed. Mayor Buddy Dyer says 53 more are in the hospital. The shooter is amongst the dead. This is FBI agent Ron Hopper.
At this time, at this particular time, there's no reason to believe, we have no credible or singular information to suggest that there's any further threat to Orlando or the surrounding area or anywhere else as it relates to this particular incident.
But the killing is being investigated as potential terrorism. Today, a Florida congressman and a federal law enforcement official say the shooter has been identified as Omar Mateen of Port St. Lucie, Florida. He was reportedly born in Afghanistan. President Obama says he is eager to finally get out on the 2016 campaign trail. White House correspondent Greg Clugston has more on that.
In his online video endorsement of Hillary...